We're reading some tough verses in Romans 1, verses 28 through 32. And so this is the word of God to our hearts. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decrees that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. That's the word of the Lord to us. You may be seated.
A couple of years ago, now about this time of year, I think it was January, I was having some car trouble. Now it seems simple enough at first. The car started most of the time, and then it wouldn't start. And if you waited a little while, it would start up again. Finally, it wouldn't start at all, and I had to have it towed in. When the car mechanic told me, oh, it's not a big deal, it's just a battery problem, I thought, sweet, I can handle a battery, not a problem. That's got to be the problem, because that's what I wanted the problem to be. Something simple, something cheaper. I got it fixed, battery was replaced, good to go. But then it happened again. The car wouldn't start, and then it started later. And it did that a couple of times. And once again, the car completely stopped, and I had to have it towed in. Now, I was hoping that the true problem was that maybe they just didn't tighten something down enough the first time. Or maybe it was gas line freeze. It was really cold about then, and you guys, if anybody understands cold, it's you guys, right? Maybe it was gas line freeze. Something easy, something cheap. Nope. This time, they found the true problem. It was a bad fuel pump. Now, I wanted the car fixed, but I didn't like this truth as much as I liked the first one, because this one was going to be more expensive. However, the truth of the matter was that it really didn't matter what I wanted the truth to be. The truth was the truth, bad fuel pump. Now, if I had told the mechanic that maybe the truth for him was a bad fuel pump, but the truth for me was a gas line freeze, and wouldn't have let them fix the car, it would have been cheaper. But then again, my car would have ended up sitting in my garage. Truth. This January, I'm going to be preaching a hot topic series, Hot Topics for Cold Days, which I think is perfect for International Falls. And I love the picture on the bulletin cover, an igloo. Although I haven't seen any igloos around here, that I'm just... But during this month, I want us to look at this whole idea of truth. Actually, it was a subject that was brought up by Jesus before Pontius Pilate. John 18. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. So why did Jesus come? He said, I came to testify to the truth. Then Pilate asked the question that has been discussed for centuries. What is truth? Now, we don't know what his motive was in asking the question. Was he sincere? Or was he just simply being sarcastic? We don't know. But we do know that truth, or what a person believes is true, guides action. What you believe determines how you live. What you believe to be true determines how you live relationally. It determines how you live financially. It determines how you live morally. And ultimately, it determines how you live spiritually, which will determine what happens to you after this life. That's why Jesus came to testify to the truth. Because truth has to do with how we live our lives now and where we live our lives for eternity. So why then? Why is there so much confusion today in our world about the subject of truth? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, some people deny absolute truth. You hear things like, well, it may be true for you, but it's not true for me. Some people feel free to redefine truth, even rewriting history, because they don't like the other version. And now in the United States, we seem to have a new twist on truth. It's called fake news. I'm sure you've heard of it. I couldn't help myself. I found a recent Twitter from President Trump, very interesting, from January 7th. This is what he said. With all of the success that our country is having, including the just released jobs numbers, which are off the charts, the fake news and totally dishonest media concerning me and my presidency has never been worse. Many have become crazed lunatics who have given up on the truth. Now, whether you agree with President Trump or whether you like him or dislike him, that's not the issue. He brings up the subject of truth. And I can't help but wonder how much truth we really are hearing today in every part of our culture. Now, while I'm sure there are any number of reasons as to why we struggle with knowing the truth in today's world, there is one reason that I think that's at the bottom of a lot of our struggles. You need to know that we live in a world system that is under the influence of someone whose life purpose is to oppose God and oppose truth. The Bible calls him Satan, or Lucifer, or the angel of light, or the great deceiver, or the father of lies. Jesus, he came to reveal truth. Satan came to hide truth. He came to twist truth. The Bible says the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So the devil was a liar from the beginning. Jesus came to testify about truth, but the devil wants you to exchange the truth of God for a lie. That was just read here earlier. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Although they claimed to be wise, Scripture says they became what? They became fools. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. In other words, it sounds true, looks true, feels true, appears to be true, but it's not true. It's actually a lie. Let me just tell you this. What we're going to talk about in the next few weeks, I believe, is one of the greatest problems that our generation faces. I'm talking about one of the most dangerous and false belief systems of this generation. Our spiritual enemy, Satan, is the father of lies. And he is deceiving people today to believe in two big lies. The first lie is the belief that truth is relative. Truth is relative. The second lie is that truth is subjective. Let's look at the first one. Truth is relative. This is the assumption that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Truth is evolving. Truth is not constant. What used to be true is now no longer considered to be true today. For example, look at the public discussion about homosexuality and gay marriage. When I was a kid, homosexuality was wrong and marriage was only to be between a man and a woman. But today, we're being told that the new truth is that it's okay. And not only that, but not to approve of homosexuality makes you a bad person, an unloving person. And so the Bible, God's word, it speaks of absolute truth. The mindset of today's culture is that truth is not constant. It is evolving. Let me just give you a brief history lesson. So hang with me on this one because it's important. There was a 19th century German philosopher by the name of Hegel who made this idea popular. He is now known for what is called the Hegelian dialectic, which simply says that whenever there's a thesis that meets an antithesis, whenever truth collides with an opposing idea, there's a synthesis. This means that when truth meets a contrary thought, a new truth or an evolving truth is a result because truth is not constant. Well, let's put it in terms that we can relate with, okay? How many of you were alive in the 1950s? Go ahead, raise your hand. 1950s. Yep, okay. Would you agree that if you're from the 50s, you remember from the 50s, marriage was a sacred institution, right? Divorce happened, but it was something that deviated from what was normal or expected. Okay, now how many of you were around in the 60s? Okay, in the 60s. In the 60s culture, the idea of free love emerged. Okay, in the 50s, it was sex only in marriage. That was the accepted norm. In the 60s, sex without the confines of marriage emerged as the new norm. And when those two ideas collided, they evolved into the new truth today, which is marriage is optional. In fact, the new norm is that couples live together before they marry, if indeed they do marry. Truth is relative. The second lie is that truth is subjective. Truth is subjective. This is the belief that I, the subject, have the right to determine what is right and wrong without submitting my judgment to any authority outside of myself. This means that since there is no absolute truth, supposedly, you can't impose your beliefs on me and I can't impose my beliefs on you. I am the source of my own truth. I'll determine if my actions are right or wrong based on my truth at this moment in time. As long as it makes me happy, that's what matters. As long as I'm sincere, it really doesn't matter what I believe. And as long as it doesn't hurt anyone, it doesn't matter what I do. Those statements and those beliefs just sound and feel so right. Effective lies of our spiritual enemy today. Now, what gets tough about this for me is that if I start preaching from the Bible and I claim that this is God's truth, and you have been influenced by the mindset that there's no such thing as absolute truth, then you will think that I am at the very least ignorant of what the truth is today, horribly out of touch with what's happening, and at the very worst, dangerous. So that puts me in a very awkward position as one who tries to proclaim truth. So work with me for a few minutes. Let's go on a journey together, beginning with the intellectual assumption that there really is such a thing as absolute truth. Because when you're a thinking person, you have to agree that there's absolute truth. Because to make the statement that there is no absolute truth is an absolute statement. And how can you make that if there are no absolutes? Make sense? What you believe determines how you live. And if I can just take a minor step away from truth, I can wake up years later far, far away from truth. Let me give an example. In the mid-1980s, we lived in Michigan. My family and I had a church there. At that time, the highway department was working on a new interstate system that would go from the central interstate and skirt outside of Detroit, going to Ohio. The interstate section beginning in Ohio curved northwest around Detroit, and the Michigan side was curving southeast around Detroit. The engineers had met. The plans were made, surveying was completed, the road crews had plans, and they got to work. Both were working from what they knew and accepted was truth. But somewhere along the way, probably in the early stages, a small error was made. And when the roadways eventually came together, you guessed it, they didn't meet. And so I remember driving past this to see this unusable expanse of bridge just jutting out into space, and the freeway it was to connect to hanging in midair. Well, the point is, the error was slight when it started. But as the construction continued, the departure from the destination, from the goal, was huge. And that can happen to us if we're not careful. So from my experience, I want to say something about truth. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Let me try to answer that. First of all, truth is not just a what, but a who. It's not just a what, but a who. Truth is not just a philosophy that someone teaches you in school. It's not just a mindset. It's not just an idea. It's not just a statement. It's not just something you learn from a book. It's not a what, but it's a who. Truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am truth. I am God in the flesh. I am truth. From John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, Jesus was the embodiment of grace and truth. So why is it that so many people today reject the statement that Jesus is the truth? I don't think it's because of the life that Jesus lived. If you read about the life that Jesus lived, if you look at who he was as a person, even someone who rejects Christianity, if they've got any sense of right or wrong, they're going to look at his life and they're going to say, wow, What an impressive life. What a beautiful life. He was the inspiration for people like Mother Teresa. And actually, if you want to take a look at the hospitals, the care centers all around our country, around the world, I would say Jesus is the inspiration for those. He was full of love and compassion. He cared for the poor. He embraced those that others rejected. He was wise. He was discerning. Even if you reject Christianity, you have to look at Jesus and be impressed. I think the reason that so many people reject the statement that Jesus is the truth is not because of the life of Jesus. I think it's more because of the lives of his followers. I think that they reject how Christians have represented Jesus over the years, and for that, I have no defense. Let's be honest. If there's no comparison between us and Jesus. I mean, if you look at the way we live versus the way he lived, there can be this great disconnect, can't there? We can be so hypocritical at times. We can be horribly judgmental. Truth without grace, then, leads to legalism. It leads to judgmentalism. However, you must also look at the flip side of grace without truth, is that truth is relative. Truth is subjective. People love grace. Who doesn't love grace? But they want nothing to do with truth. They're saying, hey, what's cool with you is cool with me. I mean, whatever you want to do, that's fine. I mean, as long as you're not hurting anybody, that's okay. You know, as long as you're sincere, I'm good with that. And so we hear that today. But when Jesus came, he came full of grace and truth. And when you see Jesus, you experience grace and truth. He is absolutely life-changing. So if you're a skeptic or you have a friend who is a skeptic, all you have to do is open up this book. And I challenge you to open up this book. Open up your mind and read about Jesus. Just read about him. Check out the New Testament. I suggest the Gospel of John. But look at Jesus' life and ask yourself, could he really be the truth? And as you do this, I believe the second thing will happen. And that is, truth is not just a dull concept, but a dramatic change. It's not just a dull concept, it's a dramatic change. John 8:32, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Jesus, the truth, will change your life. He will set you free. What will Jesus set you free from? Any false belief that takes you away from the truth of personally knowing God. Any false belief that takes you away from honoring God with your life. Any false belief that leads you into bondage and guilt and shame, the truth will set you free. Jesus will set you free from the pain that you feel trying to find meaning in a world where sometimes it doesn't seem there is any meaning. He'll set you free from the aching that you have inside your heart. He'll set you free from your fear of death and judgment, that one day you're going to stand before God, and we know that. But when you stand before God, you can know that that's a good thing, not a bad thing, because that's your Heavenly Father, and he loves you. He'll set you free and bring you into that relationship with God. Jesus, the truth, will set you free. If you seek him, you'll find him. At least that's what I did in my life. There came a time in my life when I stopped running from God and I started running to God. And I asked him to reveal himself to me. And I stopped trying to make everything match up perfectly like those people in Michigan with the bridge. Because I don't know about you, but whenever I try to do that, somehow it just doesn't always fit. And I realized I couldn't do that on my own. And that's where I needed him to be the Lord of my life and to bring those pieces together into that perfect harmony and unity and according to his perfect plan. I met him personally, and I surrendered completely, and I'm different because of it. My friends, there is an absolute truth in this world. His name is Jesus. Do you know him? Do you love him? And do you know that he loves you? Would you bow with me in a word of prayer?